Hi, I'm Claire Morrow. I began doing elder care work when my own parents started to falter and needed help, but I live very far away. In the beginning, I was trying to reach out to them and manage their situation. Even though I did have a sister who lived much closer, I was concerned, I wanted to help, and I was kind of making myself crazy because I didn't live nearby and it was very hard to do anything. But I'm an action-oriented person. If I see a problem, I like to think of a way to address it and go ahead and do that. And so I realized after I'd visited my parents and my dad was in a rehab for a stroke at the time, that there were problems that all elderly people or people who were becoming older were having with coping with the next phase of their lives. And because I had a counseling background and a programming outreach background, I began to work with my local elder services because I thought I can't always be there to help my parents, but I can help other people who are dealing with these problems. And that gave me a sense of purpose, and that's how I got into the industry.
Thinking about going out into a group or having a group, what if a group of people just knocked on your door and said, you know, like, we're here for the event? How willing are you now to let them cross over? You know, and it's the same, I think, when you open your computer and you're supposed to have a group meeting in your house, which is supposed to be your safe space. This is really tricky. It's hard. It's very hard for people. And, you know, I just feel like we need to have a minimum of respect that we approach all our workplaces with. And so that extends to all these essential workers now. You know, this is a very unusual situation. And I think a lot of the minimum wage essential workers are correct to ask the question, will you remember this? Will you treat us better as this threat fades?
Right.
It might take years, but you know, how long? We get tired of washing our hands, you know? How many weeks have we been washing our hands? How many, you know, how long do you take today versus how long did you take washing your hands? How much time did you take to wash your hands when the instruction first went out? And how much time do you take today? Already, we're drifting from that point. So yes, the first day you may have thanked your essential worker for still being on the job, but by the 40th day, you know, they're just there. You know, do you see them the same way? It's pretty hard. And I think that direct care workers who are dealing with the seriously ill, I mean, they have to bring their energy to each new person. Each new person is, you know, however many people they get to the finish line, whatever that finish line is, they turn around and the next person is back at the starting line again. Mm-hmm. That has to take so much energy. If we evolved to be thinking in organisms and learning organisms, then we're also very pro-social. We're successful because we work in groups. And you have to take care of your group. So there's a human group. And there are smaller groups. And the human group is what is important right now. At least that's my approach. You know, that's my approach to community. And when you focus on a community, you want to take care of that community. So I worry about my clients who are now more isolated. And I worry about the workers who support those people because they are also isolated within their own communities. And I, want to see more of, I want to see more of these expressions of social solidarity. I want to see the evidence because I believe it. And it's like, I've believed all this time. I worked for years under this premise that this work matters on some level. So now I want to see that demonstrated. And I'm really lifted up by what I see from, you know, arts professionals and neighborhood groups and, you know, just ordinary people who want to help and set up networks, you know, the mask sewers, the food delivery people who are just neighborhood people who are organizing because they know down the street someone can't leave their home because they may be incapacitated or too ill to expose themselves. They put together a food delivery network for them. They're not giving them the food. Those people are paying for their own food. But somebody's bringing it to them. That's really important to see within your own community. How is it responding to the needs of the group to, you know, extend themselves, not divide themselves? When people live in social isolation, they have mental health consequences to that, and they have physical consequences to that. And for the older adult and the elder who is more physically compromised, and everyone in general right now needs to be aware of this, depression, less effective functioning around tasks, your cognitive abilities start to decline. You're not as good at problem solving. Your sleep gets disrupted. Pretty soon, your whole cardiovascular function can decrease, and you're impairing your immunity by being alone. You're not at peak human functioning anymore. So, you know, isolation is not positive, but we're not isolated even though we're physically distanced. We can still contribute to the solidarity that you feel for your neighbor, your community, your interest group, if that's what you want to call it. You can still hold on to your compassion and find ways to give of yourself from whatever situation you find yourself in. And yes, I mean, it's impacting businesses everywhere, but I also see businesses responding by converting their function to one that is adapted to the need. Like in the Northeast, in Boston, restaurants that serve takeout meals or that haven't been serving are now empowered to offer grocery packages to people. So instead of cooking the food and prepping the meals, they can provide you with the raw materials. And maybe they're raw materials that reflect their business. But that's, you know, that's a way to still maybe not be as profitable, but you're contributing to your community and keeping your ties to that community, where again we're hoping people will remember that you were there to offer something when it was hard, when things were harder to come by. And in my network of arts professionals who offer their talents to elder care, I mean, that's generally not their main focus, although some people have made very lucrative careers. I wouldn't say lucrative, very active careers of
exclusively dealing with elder communities, but they've reached out through platforms to continue to offer online services for entertainment, for distraction, for community engagement. You can run a sing-along from a Facebook Live group the same way that if you went with your instruments into a facility to hold a community activity. It's not impossible. It's not the same. It doesn't come with the physical contact, the narrowing of the physical distance, but it can provide a form of engagement. And it's valuable to these communities because you're taking the burden off the people who are there, who are struggling to provide that along with meeting basic needs. And it's not extra. It's an important component, because otherwise, what do you see? Rows and rows of people sitting on their beds, staring at the wall. They can't congregate with their friends, and they can't have visitors. And if they can cognitively adapt to a screen image, then they can have a conversation. They can hear a familiar voice. That's really important, to feel less alone. It's not the best. And no, I don't think anybody would say that it's a substitute, but it's what we can do right now, and the situation calls for it because it's dire. And there are no two ways about that. It's really dangerous for people with multiple illnesses that they have to juggle in the face of this reality. Never mind that it's not a very well-known virus at the moment, and it seems to constantly reveal new consequences to people that were expected to have fewer consequences. So it's an unknown factor. And nobody likes living with that. So we do need ways to balance our needs with our wants. And if the ability to gather socially or functionally to make organizations run is inhibited, then we have to find other ways of getting together, because that's how we function as humans. I said it before and I'll say it again. I think that having compassion for others and having a sense of doing what's right for the common good is what has saved humanity to this point. We haven't been able to thrive on, we would not have been able to thrive on our own the way we can thrive as groups. So extending yourself with a feeling of charity for others, is just, it's basic common sense, because it's empowering individuals to respond to an immediate need. My immediate need is to not feel so alone, so I'm going to reach out to you. And if I have a special talent that I can bring along with me, like if I had a really great singing voice, which I don't, then I'll sing to you. And we see that everywhere, and it makes everyone feel better, because the arts in general help you transcend your immediate experience. That's why we go to experience live performance of all kinds, whether it's the juggler at the town fair, or let me tell you, the bubble man who drove down my street
with bubbles pouring out of the back of his truck, blasting Monkees music and just basically spreading a little bit of cheer. Neighbors came out on their lawns and waved to one another and listened to the music and watched the bubbles and forgot how otherwise difficult life may have become. Just for a moment. Just for a moment. Doesn't matter. Just for a moment, your physical body can also relax from the constant feeling of tension. And instead of feeling like you had to throw out this excess energy in some sort of way from yourself, you could let it just pass and have a moment that was peaceful. All because some bubble man decided to drive down the street. Now, it turns out that the bubble man has an event business and he'll come to your party and spew bubbles and play music and, you know, juggle or something. I'm not really sure. Make animal balloons, maybe. But that's okay because this is something he could offer. And maybe you'll remember that the bubble man was a great guy who came around and offered you some brief moments to forget the situation that we're in right now. That's all we really need sometimes. And if a group of very well-known people puts on a concert that everyone can watch on their favorite screen, then they get to do what they love and what lets them experience their flow. And you as a group, as a member of an invisible group, can gather and experience that flow as well. It's really wonderful. And if you're a painter or if you like the theater, those opportunities are there. They're available to us, and they are important to continue to support the best way that they can. So people are offering snippets of their work and then asking you for a donation if you want to see more. I think that's fair. I want to see these people come back when they can. When the doors reopen, I want to see these people come back because we're all better for it. Right. Well, in the older adult elder care context, mm-hmm. the important aspect to me, the most important aspect of this to me is the fact that you are partners with the elder and the provider, whether you're an arts provider or a sanitation provider or a nursing provider, what have you. You are partners. You're there because the person needs you, the person needs you, and you're there. So recognizing that sometimes what you as a provider are giving something that you have the means to give, whether it's a skill, whether it's a talent, whether it's your time, and you may be getting something back for that in terms of payment from someone else. Indirectly, the person in front of you is paying you. Or they might be paying you because you are a private care person and you're coming into their home and they're paying you to be there. But you wouldn't be there at all if they didn't need you. And sometimes what you give seems greater than what they receive. And sometimes their need for what you give for just a little bit, like it may be that what they need from you is just to know you care enough to come. And that has a restorative effect beyond whatever else you offer. But you're partners. And because you're partners, that is the most important aspect. You're there because you care to be there, and you're there because you get something back for being there, whatever it is. They are there because they need something, and they make it possible for you to give. Well, I've talked about my commitment to engagement, and that just comes from a belief that we all are entitled to our best physical and mental health. If we have that, then we can empower ourselves to be productive and have life satisfaction and feel a sense of meaning. And helping people to find meaning is my ultimate goal. So breaking down social isolation is one means. I mean, it's fine to be an introvert, but even an introvert goes to a party. It's fine to be the happiest person in the room, but even that person goes home and can feel alone. So it's necessary. And I feel the pain of social isolation on behalf of others. And I want to show them that there's a way to manage that pain and to enjoy and take part in life for as long as they live. I see the arts as not only a necessary creative outlet that humans happen to be really good at, I see it as a vehicle for my ultimate end, which is to help people find life satisfaction, whatever their circumstances, and to guide people to a place of heart's ease and physical comfort within their own bodies. And so often that means that people who are anxious or have physical limitations that they feel marginalized by will take comfort in what I have to offer. And when I see that in the expression of engagement in their eyes or relaxation in their bodies, and I know that they have, those are signals to me that they have benefited from the time together as part of a group, doing whatever I've directed, orchestrated for them to take part in. It's the effect that the group activity can have that is, you know, it doesn't have to be as fancy as the Bubble Man. It can be, you know, a lively and engaged conversation around, you know, a small focus, and it can still give that person a sense that they physically maybe could rest and not feel fear for their very existence. Even if that's just a small moment, that's very worthwhile to me. And I've seen it manifested in such interesting ways. I maybe have talked before about a client I had who came and watched a group activity over and over and over again. She sat and watched, and she would not participate. Oh no, it's not for me. And then eventually she sat beside someone who was participating and said, "Let me help you do that. I can see that you're having a problem." It used arts materials, and the other person had arthritis and couldn't manipulate everything. "Let me help you do that." And then she moved from that to we were going to display this artwork. And she knew that the following week, the display was going to be available for other people to see. And she called me on the weekend at home. And she didn't even say who she was. She just started yelling at me. "This is all your fault. I started doing this at home and now I can't stop. I keep making these collages." And she was the biggest advocate for the project when we had the art display. She told everybody how great it was. And that's like my proudest moment of transformation that I can articulate. And I'll always remember her. She gave me a gift because, again, I've spent a lot of time believing that this is a good thing to do, a good way to spend my time. And I'm fortunate that people also think so and engage me to engage others. But that one time, that woman showed me that what I was doing may not yield that type of response every day, but what I can feel my own clients seem to leave the room with a lighter load than they entered with. And that's enough. I mean, we all know we pick that load back up again as soon as we get bombarded by the demands of life. But the fact that you can put it down because someone was brave enough to sing a song on a stage or put on a one-woman show that transported you to a different time or a different historical period, that's unique and special, or prepared a fabulous meal that you know you would never make at home. Or even if you could, the experience would not be the same because it couldn't take place in that unique environment that's created in a restaurant that is also a kind of performance. You know, it's there are invaluable gathering places that humans have invented that we all want to take part in again. And I'm sure we will. Whether they're virtual or whether they're concrete, brick and mortar, as they say.